Chapter 39. Back in his cell, Charlie washed the traces of blood from his garments in his crusty sink. He tried to steer clear of the more gruesome battlegrounds, but even so, he had brushed against a few bloody bulkheads during his labors. Charlie put his fingers to work on the knot again as he replayed the brutality he had witnessed in his head over and over, pulling at the material tightly bound to his collar as he did. "So, this is a pirate ship," he muttered. "I guess that explains a lot, actually. So now I'm part of a pirate crew, I guess." He sat quietly a moment as his sore fingers tugged and pulled at the stubborn knot. It had moved, but only a fractional amount. The shard of sharp debris he had secreted back to his quarters had proven useless against the seemingly delicate fabric. Every time he attempted to cut or fray it, he would receive a hand-numbing shock for his trouble. He tried wrapping the end of the shard with his shirt, but that provided no insulation. Pretty much whatever he did, if he attempted to cut the material, he would wind up on his ass and facing a 10-minute wait before sensation would return to his hand. It took 3 attempts and their subsequent unpleasant results before he finally decided maybe it would be better to forego the piece of metal in favor of his hands. His fingers ached from it, but at least they were functional. "If I could just get this stupid thing off, maybe I could understand what's going on around here," he grumbled to himself. Quietly, though, his translator may not have been functioning, but that didn't mean the guards' units weren't operational. Not long thereafter, the new captives were ushered down the corridor to their waiting cells. Fresh bodies to replace the ones lost in battle. Charlie realized that was probably an ongoing pattern aboard the ship. Fight, capture, dispose of the dead, and replace them with new fodder. And that's what he was. Fodder. "Not if I can help it." For the better part of the next hour, Charlie worked at the knot around his neck with raw fingertips. Amazingly, after all of that effort, it seemed his labors might finally pay off. A shadow filled his doorway, and before he could pull the loosened knot free, Marbon opened the force field door and dragged him out to join the others queuing up for mealtime. The scarred man then moved on to the next cell before finally rounding up the newest captives. It was interesting to watch now that he had a different understanding of the dynamics at play. The men who had been aboard the longest were served first, while the newest ate last. It was alpha dog territory, but with prisoners instead of canines. It made sense, though. Those who had survived long enough to start at the front of the line had earned that privilege. This was not an easy life. Charlie gathered up his plate of slop and made his way to his favorite seat, eating by himself as he always did, unable to communicate with the others. The food was unappetizing, as usual, but he had learned to force it down quickly before his tongue and brain could argue over whether or not it belonged in his belly. The weak tea they were served actually wasn't all that bad, and he found it washed the residual taste from his mouth quite effectively. The new prisoners were a mess of bruises and other minor injuries, the walking wounded staring wide-eyed at their new surroundings. Unlike Charlie, they knew full well what fate had befallen them. In that, at least, they were starting their imprisonment with a slight advantage. Even so, without translators to aid in their conversations, they, too, split into the usual divisions based on species and tongue. The pirate crew seemed to have thinned a fair amount, but as he scanned the men's faces, Charlie realized he knew several of them. That, in and of itself, was to be expected after his time aboard the ship, but the faces he saw wearing pirate garb had just the other day been prisoners like him. The most senior ones, he realized. They're fleshing out their ranks with the ones who have been aboard the longest, the ones who are institutionalized and used to this life. Charlie took new interest in the newly minted pirates, picking at the knotted material wrapped around his collar absent-mindedly, as he noted the attire and accoutrements afforded the newest members of the crew. They had the same basic uniform as the others, plain clothing, often what they had already been wearing as prisoners, but now with bandolier pouches strapped across their chests and heavier boots on their feet. They also bore arms, though from what he could see, the new pirates didn't seem to be sporting any of the power-wielding items. Only knives, clubs, and short swords adorned their belts. Of course, he didn't know what was in those pouches, but he suspected they would become filled with tools and plunder over time as they proved their worth. A strange sensation tingled across his fingertips as the knotted fabric around his neck slowly slid loose in his grip. "Holy shit, I finally got it," he silently exclaimed. "And it's about time. Now let's see if that translator is still functional." Charlie undid the rest of the knot, then pulled the fabric free from his collar. For a moment, he felt nothing. Then the collar Captain Saruman had put on him touched his original one, and the world ignited in pain. Charlie dropped to the filthy floor, writhing in agony as the collars fought for control of his body, shocking him mercilessly in the process. He thought he heard one of the guards swearing, but with the pain, he couldn't be sure if it was his old collar translating or if it was all in his mind. What he did know was he would do anything to make the pain stop. Marbon crouched over him, an annoyed look spread across his scarred face.
"Idiot, now look what you've done."
There it was. Confirmation. He could understand. The old collar still worked. Charlie almost felt a flash of excitement at the realization, if not for the continuous charge shocking his neck. Just as when he had first captured him, Marbon took the fabric Charlie had worked free and quickly wrapped it around Captain Tour's collar once again. The pain ceased nearly immediately once the knot was affixed, held firm with whatever verbal command he mumbled. Then his world went black.